Hey everyone, hope everyone's doing well. Today's daf is daf nun aleph. So we got three lines down. The mission begins as follows: Lo chisal mi be'od yom, lo yichasenu mishech tishchach. We're talking about covering for the purposes of hatmana. So if a person didn't cover it up before Shabbos, you're not allowed to perform hatmana on Shabbos itself. We already discussed this before. Rashi says lo yichasenu mishech tishchach, mishech tishchach. You can't cover it when it gets dark. Rashi explains ha prishana taima beperek beis daf lamedalad. Even if you're insulating it in something that doesn't generate heat, you still can't do atmana on Shabbos. Gzeira shem yartiach, perhaps it's going to be cool and you want to boil it up. So they made a gzeira, no atmana on Shabbos at all. We only said you're allowed to do atmana on Erev Shabbos if it's an item that's eino mosif hevel. So then the Mishnah says, let's say kiso, you covered it properly me'erev Shabbos, v'nizgala, then it somehow uncovers on its own, mutter l'chasos, so you're allowed to then recover it. So take a look at Rashi, rather Tosos. Tosos says, kiso v'nizgala mutter l'chasos, so if it was exposed on its own, you're allowed to recover it. Tosos adds, nira l'ri, the huadin de mutter l'galoso biadaim ulachsor l'chasos, so he thinks that you'd also be allowed to expose it and then recover it on your own as well. Just like by Chazara. On Shabbos, if you take a cholim pot off the crockpot, you could return it as long as you keep all the different stipulations, you hold on to it, you have in mind, all that other stuff. So he thinks the same is true as Hatmana. You could uncover it and then recover it as well. So why did the Mishnah only specify a case of Nisgala, that it was uncovered on its own? So Tosus explains that v'hod denakat kisel v'nisgala, the reason why it's only in the passive, that it was uncovered on its own, mishum dinisgala mibod yom, Iri, it's talking about if it was exposed on Erev Shabbos. So then, if it's exposed on Erev Shabbos, dum yedereishas lo kisel mibod yom, if it wasn't covered on Erev Shabbos, so too, if it was uncovered on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to. But let's say you uncovered it on Erev Shabbos, then you will not be allowed to cover it on Shabbos. So that's what Tosfos writes. So Kamar, demuter l'chasoso mishetichshach. So if it was uncovered Erev Shabbos on its own, then you're allowed to cover it on Shabbos. Aval im gilel biyadai mibod yom, if you are the one exposed it on Erev Shabbos, so then kedei l'chasoso mishetichshach, in order to cover it on Shabbos, that's aser l'chasoso mishetichshach, then you can't. The only way you'll have to uncover it and recover it is if you do it on Shabbos. So if it's insulated when Shabbos begins, you could uncover it and then recover it according to Tosos. But if you uncovered it Erev Shabbos in order to recover it on Shabbos, that's where it would be us. So the mission now concludes, Mimalas a keton, you're allowed to fill up a jug of some sort, a kettle, Vinosan the tachas a kar, or tachas a kesses, place it below a blanket, a mattress, a pillow of some sort. So what? Why is that allowed? Isn't that hatmana? So says Rashi is Mimalas a keton shel tzonin. If you have cold water, talking about, that's allowed. You're allowed to do it. Vinosan the toch a kar, Rashi says, Shlo yichamu b'chom ha-kayetz, you put it there so it doesn't get hot. It's a summer day out. It's 95 degrees. You don't want the water to get hot. You want to have nice, cold, fresh water so you could cover it up to maintain the coolness, to avoid it from getting too hot. So you're allowed to insulate cold in anything. It's just you're not allowed to insulate that which is hot. So the Gemara now says, on that piece, the last part of the Mishnah about insulating that which is cold, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mutter lehatmin es atzonin, you're allowed to insulate that which is cold. So that's the Chiddush of Shmuel. So Amar Rav Yosef, my kamas lam, what's a Chiddush? Shmuel, we don't need you, Tanina, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah here in Masechah Shabbos, Daphne and Aleph tells us, Mimali Adam Kiton Venosin Tachas Akar O Tachas Akensis. So what's Shmuel adding that we don't already know from the Mishnah? So Amar Le Abayi says, Tuva Kamashmalam, there's much to be learned from the statement of Shmuel. Dimi Masnisin, how we had the mission alone, Hava Amin, I would have thought, Hani Mili Davar Shein Darchol HaHatmin. When are you allowed to insulate that which is cold? That's only something that's not normally insulated, but that you would never insulate it to be hot. Aval Davar Shein Darchol HaHatmin, that which is normally meant to be hot, and you wouldn't normally insulate to add heat to it, lo, maybe that wouldn't be allowed. Kamashmalan, anything that's cold, regardless of how it's normally used and eaten, you're allowed to insulate that which is cold. That's the Chiddush of Shmuel. So what's something that's Darchel Hatman and that which is Ein Darchel Hatman? So Rashi explains here that cold water. No one ever takes cold water and tries to warm it up. It's not going to get warm. There's no chashash of a person ever having cold water leading to atmana in a davar mosif hevel. About davar shadar chal hadmin, something that people normally do, insulate to generate heat. Lechamim kagon tafshu, you have some type of item that gets cooked. So then, emal lo yatminenu mipnei achama. So maybe a person should not insulate it even when it's cold, lest I come to insulate it in order to make it even hot. Kamashlam, anything that's currently cold is entirely permitted to insulate. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, usur lahatmin es hatzonin. He argues, Rav argues and says it's usur to insulate even that which is cold. So Gemara says, Vahat Tanya, doesn't the Brisa say that Rebbe himself, there's a machlok, is the Gersos here, so that first Rav, according to the Gersos, really should be Rebbe. So really it should say, Rebbe asur lahatmin es hatzonin. But now we present the Brisa, Vahat Tanya, Rebbe hitir lahatmin es hatzonin. He allows one to insulate cold. So can you or can you not? And the Gemara says, Lo kasha, there is no contradiction of Rebbe's position. Ha mekame de lishmai mi Rebbe Yishmael v Rebbe Yossi. Ha levasar de lishmai. One was before he heard from Rebbe Yishmael, one was after he heard from Rebbe Yishmael, and he retracted. So the Gemara says, Ki od yosu Rebbe, when Rebbe was sitting, Vamar, and he said, Osu lahatmin es hatzonin, it's prohibited from insulating that which is cold. So Amar lefanav, so Rebbe Yishmael v Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yishmael, the son of Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yishmael says to him, Abhitir lahatmin es hatzonin. My father already permitted one to insulate in cold water. So Amar kfar horizakin, the zakin already had paskin, and then there's no challenging anymore. So the Gemara says, Rashi explains here that zakin is Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Shmuel's father Rabbi Yossi kfar horizakin already paskin the shayla. So Rabbi said, okay, if the zakin already paskin the shayla, so I'm going to step back. So the Gemara explains a little bit further, a little bit more commentary on what's going on here. So Amar Reb Papa, see how much respect, how endearing they are to one another. How the Rabbanim get along with each other, even though they have different positions, they're all machni themselves to those who are greater. The Zikne poskim, the Zikne Rabbanim. So the Gemara says again, and this is interesting to note that Reb Papa is the one saying this. That if you've heard me in the past, Reb Papa is the one in 10 places where he says throughout Shas the importance of. Importance of being machriya, the 10 places in Shas where there's a machlok is what to do. The Papa says, do like both of them. Like one example is, when it comes to what bracha they say when after a big drought and it finally rains, so machlok is what bracha they say, and he says, say like both of them. Or when you see a rainbow, what bracha do you say? It's a different opinion, he says, say all of them. So the Papa, again, he's always being machriya, then he always brings shalom, or at least recognizes the shalom that takes place. So the Gemara says that, again, Sheila Rabbi Yossi, had Rabbi Yossi Kayim been alive, who was the father, who was the Zakin Haya, Kaf of Yosef Livnei Rebbe, he would have been Kaf of in front of Rebbe. So Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, the Mamala Makam Avosav Hava. Rebbe Shmuel was able to fill the shoes of his father, Rebbe Yossi. So he was as if Rebbe was still alive, as if Rebbe Yossi was still alive. We have the concept of this child follows in the ways of his father, his Kila Ha'av Kayim. In fact, there's an interesting din when it comes to Yushas HaBen. When a father dies and the son inherits it, there's a Baal Ma'or in Bav Vaso Yeshnochon who says, it's Ki'ilu Ha'av Kaim, as if the father's still alive. So here we have here, Rabbi Shmuel is like the following the footsteps of his father, Rabbi Yossi. So it's Ki'ilu Rabbi Yossi still alive. The Mamala Makum Avosav Hava, the Kof of Yosef Levnei Rebbe, and he was sitting a kafaf in front of Rebbe. Rebbe was an Asi. The Kamar Kvar Horizakin. And yet, even though Rebbe Yossi was a kafaf to the Rebbe Nasi, still Rebbe ended up saying, well, if the Zakin Rebbe Yossi Paskin, Rebbe's not going to argue on this. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says here, the Mimala of Malkum Avosav Kagadol Kav, if he was as good as his father, so it's as if the father was still alive. And Haya says Rashi, kafaf Yosef and Rebbe, Bibne Kavad and Nisius. Rebbe was an Asi. Rebbe was a Nasi, v'lohaya mor l'fan of, and Rebbe Yossi wouldn't paskin, and certainly not Rebbe Shmuel, the son wouldn't paskin in front of Rebbe. V'afa pisha gadla himano, even though Rebbe Yossi was greater than Rebbe, he would not paskin in front of Rebbe. So interesting, just historically, so according to Rashi, it comes out that Rebbe was the Nasi, but Rebbe Yossi was greater than Rebbe. Tosas writes, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, if you look at the Ramasra, Ilohaya Rebbe Yossi Kayim, the end of Tosas, last few lines, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbi Tam Mefarish, the Vandai Mitchila Haya Rebbe Matamido, Shere Rebbe Yossi. It was certain that initially Rebbe was just a student of Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Yossi was greater. Aval Acharkach, over time, Nischachim Rebbe. Rebbe was able to surpass the greatness, the godliness, the wisdom of Rabbi Yossi himself. Like the Gemara there in the Maseches Nida seems to indicate. So while Rabbi Yossi, rather Rashi thinks that Rabbi Yossi was greater, Rabbi Natan thinks that Rabbi Yossi actually was not only beginning, but in the end Rebbe was able to surpass him in his godless batara. But either way, we see the importance of how Rabbanim have to get along with each other, machniya themselves. So the Gemara then says, Amar le Rav Nachman le Daru Avdi. That Rav Nachman said to his Eved, whose name was Daro, Atmin li tzonein, please insulate some cold water for me. It was Shabbos, and v'aisi li maya da'achim, and then to bring me some water, da'achim kefela arma, and then arma is a goy, please give me some water that was heated up by a non-Jew. So there are two things. And one is he was passing that cold water can be insulated on Shabbos. And number two is that when it comes to violations of Bishul Akum, it doesn't apply to water. It has to be something that is either two things. One is Nechal Kemoshu Chai, only things that are not edible when it's raw. Only Bishul Akum only applies to things that are inedible raw, since water can be drunk when it's raw, so it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Number two, it has to be something that's Ol Al Shulchan Malachim, something that's considered chashiv to serve to the king. And since water is not considered chashiv, you might have it at a Suda, but it's not chashiv, so it's not subject to it. One, it's eaten raw. Number two, it's not considered chashiv. So for those two reasons, he says, get me some water that was cooked by Nanjim. So Shama Rabbi Ami, heard Rav Nachman's orders. The Ikbid, he got very upset for doing this. He says, why are you doing this? Are you violating different halachas? So Amar Rav Yosef, my time at Ikbid, why was he so upset? Kiravusa Avid, he passing like the Rabbanim. Chada Kirav, Chada Kishmuel. Kishmuel, he passing like Shmuel, Damar Rav Yehuda, Damar Shmuel, Motu Latman is a tzonin. They're allowed to insulate cold water. So that's completely fine. So Rav Nachman was certainly practicing in accordance with halacha, that you can be matmin tzonin. And he passing like Rav with respect to Bishul Akum, Damar Rav Shmuel by Yitzhak Amar Rav, Kol Shu Nechal Kmo Shu Chai, that which can be eaten raw or drunk raw, Ein Bo Mishum Bishul Nachum, is not subject to Bishul Akum. So why was Rabbi Ami upset Rav Nachman? So he says, V'usavar Adam Chashav Shani. He felt that the Adam Chashav was different, and Rashi explains here, Adam Chashav Shani, Sharoa Osa Shu Mekel Omed Umekel Yosef. So Adam Chashav, everyone thinks that Adam Chashav lives to certain standards. So whatever their standards are, everyone wants to go, okay, I'm not like him, I'll go a rung below. He does this, so that means because he knows all the chumras, I'm going to go a rung below. So if he sees, even though the Rav Nachman was acting in accordance with the halacha, if he sees Rav Nachman having water that was cooked by a non-Jew, he says, oh, well, if Rav Nachman could have water cooked by a non-Jew, I could have eggs that were made by a non-Jew, or I could have whatever else, it is a steak made by a non-Jew. And therefore, you have to, for Adam Chashav, certain halachas, the standards must be higher than the actual halacha in order that people don't misunderstand and misinterpret what's going on. So Adam Chashav is shiny, and unclear whether this is going back on just the point of the Bishul Akum, or even going back on the place of the Tzonin as well. Not clear from the Gemara here, and not clear from Rashi, but I would imagine the fact that they're put together, it would seem that would go on both of these items. Let me just take a quick look. I might have a chance to look at this before him. Just give me a few seconds. I'm looking. I don't see it anywhere where it comments on which of the two, if not both of them, it's going back on. So the Gemara now says, we are around 10 lines up from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan, Afalpi, Shamu Ein Tomnim, Afil Badavar, Sheinu Mosef Hevel, Mishech Hashecha. Even though we already had established that you can't do Atmana once it gets dark, even in something that doesn't generate heat, that doesn't generate Hevel, in Bala Hosef Mosef, if you want to add on to something, that's something that would be entirely permitted. So what does it mean adding on? So the Gemara explains that case, and how does that work exactly? So it says, let's say Kesi to Osep, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, note as a sadinim umanech as a glufkrin. You could take off the shoes and rather the sheets and add on some coats. Coats are heavier. So even though you're now adding on more insulation from before, because certainly coats that have whatever wool and feathers or whatever it's inside of them, coats, have more insulation than that of sheets. But since you already insulated before Shabbos, you're allowed to change to a more advanced, a higher level, a greater form of insulation. Or you could do the reverse. You could certainly lessen the amount of insulation of taking off the coat and placing sheets in its stead. So then the Gemara says, "V'chein kaya Rashbag Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would say lo asu ela osa mecham." He also says it's only prohibited of doing hatmana in that particular kettle or pot that the water or whatever item the tafshu was in. About pina mimecham lemecham mutter. If you now transfer the food from a kli rishon into a kli sheni, so then mutter, then you're allowed to insulate it entirely, Akure kamik mekele, artuche kamar tachle. What's the svara? Because if I'm putting into a klisheni, I'm cooling it off. By definition, it's going to cool off in a klisheni. So now, by me insulating it, it's not going to cause me to start boiling. Meaning, the whole reason why it was established you can't insulate on Shabbos was because you might come to boil it. But once I poured it into a klisheni, I clearly am indicating that I don't want it to be as hot anymore. So now that I insulate it, that's not going to cause me to start boiling with fire because I shouldn't have put it in the klisheni in the first place. So the moment you put it into a klisheni, so then you're allowed to insulate it. Why we won't do this? Perhaps they wanted to cool off to a certain temperature, but not to get entirely cool. So they put it into a klisheni where it drops a significant amount, but then they insulate it. This way they could retain that temperature that they were hoping to get. But it won't certainly inspire a person to start lighting the fire and boiling it because already he had transferred it to a klisheni. Gemara now says, last few lines of the Amud here, Taman v'chisa b'davar ha-nita b'shabbos. Let's say you insulate it and cover it with something that's nita b'shabbos, that's not muksa, that they can take. You're allowed to move. Oh, Taman b'davar she'eino nita b'shabbos, or you insulate it in an item that's muksa, that you can't move, but v'chisa b'davar ha-nita b'shabbos, but you cover it up with a cover that can be movable, that is not muksa, ha-reza no'te o'machzer. So since you're allowed to access the food by removing the cover, which is not muksa, or even the items that you're using are muksa, so that's a regular, you could take it back, take out the food and put it back inside because there's no muksa to deal with. You just take the cover off. But let's say taman v'chisa b'davar she'eino nita b'shabbos. Let's say you insulate it in something that is not movable, that is muksa on Shabbos. Osha taman b'davar hanital b'shabbos, or perhaps you insulate it in something that isn't muksa, but the kisa, but you cover the top, the access point is b'davar she'eino nita b'shabbos, is not movable, is muksa. So then the only access point is through violating muksa. So im haya megulam miksaso no tel machsiro. If it's partially exposed where you could grab the tafshil, then you're allowed to take it. Vimla, but if you can't, so then eino. On the base, eino notel umaksa, then you're not allowed to, because since it's completely covered in that which is muksa, it's usur to remove it. There's just an interesting point here. The Gemara says if it's megula miksaso, you're allowed to do it. So there's a discussion in the poskim that there's a Rama that writes that hatmana is only relevant when something is entirely insulated, but if it's exposed, the miktsaso, that's not subject to hatmana. So there are a number of different heterim. We haven't discussed that much about hatmana, but there are a number of different heterim for hatmana that you're allowed to, that would not be considered hatmana. So one of them is if it's partially exposed. Unclear how exposed it has to be. There is no way, it's really hard to quantify. They don't say like rove or a third or a 10%, but it has to be a significant amount of exposure for it not to be subject to hatmana. So if you want to insulate something with a towel, let's say, on Shabbos, that's not most of Hevel, so then you have to leave it partially exposed. Another explanation would be, another Hatmana had there is if the item is not touching the actual kli. So let's say you have a situation where you're able to cover a pot, but it doesn't touch the actual pot. So you have a chicken soup pot, and you put, let's say, a tray on top of the chicken soup pot, and then you drape a towel over the cookie tray, the cookie sheet, so the drape, when it draped over the cloth, the towel isn't touching the actual chicken pot, it's been pushed off a little bit, that won't be atmana either. So those are two heterim for atmana, either partially exposed or if it doesn't touch the actual pot. And the third heter that just comes to mind right now, I'm not sure if there are any other ones, but I think these are the three, that any cover that is the original cover or the first layer, that's not called atmana. When I have a cover on top of my chicken soup, I don't say that's atmana. If I wrap my my chicken in aluminum foil, that's not hatmana, that's just a cover. The hatmana is only when there's a secondary layer of covering, that will be the violation of hatmana. So back inside the Gemara, now we are now on top of Nun Aleph and Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nu'uras shel pishan daka harei hi kizevo. We discussed this in the Mishnah, that the little shavings of the linen, of the flax, if it's very small, fine, daka, it's kizevel. Rabbi Yehuda women mean kizevel. Rashi says kizevel, demosiv havel, zevel, fertilization, and apparently pishtan daka, it generates heat. Vein tomniba afil mibaodyom. And if it's something that's mosiv hevel, then you can't do atamana even mibaodyom, even from Erev Shabbos, would be a violation. Now this next statement we're going to see, it's a little bit tricky how to understand it. There are a number of different gersos. I'm going to just read it pretty quickly and kind of read through it. But it's a little tricky. What the differences are, not Rashi doesn't really enlighten us too much here. But Rashi does point out some different gersos here. So we're just going to read through it and then leave it at face value. So the Gemara says, Manichin mecham agave mecham kadeira agave kadeira. You're allowed to put one pot on top of another pot, or kadeira agave kadeira. Those are both allowed. And Rashi just explains here, the reason is because Mipnei Shakadera Marba Chamimus Umosefes Havla Lemecham. Oh, that's the other way around. I'm sorry, we'll get back to that in just a second. So as long as it's the same type, Mecham Agabe Mecham or Kadera Agabe Kadera, that's allowed because the heat that's in the Kadera is the same as the Kadera. And the heat in the Chemam is in the Mecham. So this consistent, it's just about retaining the heat. Avalo Kadera Agabe Mecham, but a Kadera in the Mecham or Mecham Agave Behema, that won't be allowed because that, since the Rashi explains in this case, that since the Kedera has more heat, it's going to now be Mosef Hevel, and that you can't place the Mecham on top of the Kedera. That's going to be Mechsik Mevashah, it's going to appear as if you're cooking, and therefore you can't place the opposite way. And then the Brisa says, V'tach es pia bevatik, you're allowed to seal off a kadera, a cover, with some dough. The dough has to be where it's needed before Shabbos, has to be where it was edible, to a certain extent, where it's not muksa, and you'll have to use it to seal off something, to put a cover on. Below, b'shvil shi'achamu, you can't do this with the intention of generating more heat to above, el b'shvil shi'u mishumarim, as long as you're using the heat simply to retain the heat, to be shomer the heat, that would be the only time it's allowed. And then, k'shem shein tomenis achamim, kachim tonis atonim, the Tanakhama thinks, just like you can't insulate that which is hot, you also can't insulate that which is cold, and Rebbe Hither, Rebbe permits it, lahatmin es atonim, he says you're allowed to insulate that which is cold, and that's how we paskin. Last few lines of the Perek, the Gemara says, ein mirazgin lo asa sheleg, v'lo asa barad b'shabbos. What does it mean, mirazgin? Rashi says, ein mirazgin kemor mirazgin. Mishabrin lachatichas dakos. You can't chop things up. You can't chop up ice. You can't chop up snow or barad. That's a violation. B'shabbos, says the Gemara, b'shvil sheyazovu meimav, in order to have it turned to water. That's a violation. What's the violation? So the Rambam and others write, it's kind of a malacha. It's like schita. Just like I can't squeeze grapes to generate grape juice, I can't squeeze olives to have olive oil, so too I can't squeeze or crush ice or snow in order to make water. But Rashi says, no, ad sheyazovu meimav, mishim dekam molid b'shabbos. It's a violation of molid, generating something new. It's dome le malacha, shebori maim ha'elu. You're creating water, it's an issue of molid, not an issue of a malacha of schita. And we'll get to just important halachas in just a moment, but let's just finish off the Gemara and the Perek about what you can do with snow and ice and barad and hail. Nosin hu l'toch ha'kos, or l'toch ha'ka'ara, v'nechoshib. You could place it on top of, into a cup or bowl and not be of concern here. So we'd figure out what that means exactly. So Rashi says, "Aval nosin l'toch ha'kos, she'yayin b'yimos ha'chama k'dei l'tzanin." You could put it in the sun that you could into a cup of wine, rather. Shayin, he says, importantly, wine. You look at the Gemara, it looks like it's an empty cup, an empty bowl. But according to Rashi, it has to be where there's a yayin inside. The amos hachama kadei latani, to cool off the wine, or to keep it cold. So what comes out of here, and we'll just finish the parak, hajin lach, b'metomen, and we finish this parak. The very, very important lach l'maisa that come out of this Gemara here. So there's something called molid, and there's something called nolad. Molid is when you are the one creating the molid. When you're chopping ice, you're chopping snow, you're turning it up, you're doing the action, that's molid, that's usher according to everyone. Then there's something called nolad, where you haven't done anything, but it's in a position where it, on its own, the reaction, the nature, helps it melt. You put ice in a cup and it just melts, that's nolad. You didn't do anything, it just happened. You may have put it into a position, but kind of just happens on its own. That's nolad. So nolad, according to the Svaradim, is allowed, but according to the Ashkenaz and the Ramah, we are machmir on nolad. One should not really avoid nolad situations. So according to Svaradim, that's why nolad's allowed, because it's placed into a cup or a bowl, it's fine. Just let it sit there. Put the ice in a cup and let it melt. That's nola. That's allowed. When Rashi adds shalyayin, only when there's wine there, when there's liquid, the reason why it's allowed, and the Mishabru explained, is because it's not nicker. When the ice melts, so nola's a problem according to Rashi. But when it melts into wine, it melts into soup. There, since you don't recognize the nola because it goes right into the water, therefore it would be mutter, even according to Ashkenazim, who say nola might be usur. So this is a question of making ice on Shabbos. You put water in the little trays and put it into the freezer. Is that a problem or not? That would not be molded because you're not creating it. You're putting it into position where it becomes ice. That's nolad. But for the Ashkenazim, we say one should avoid nolad as well. So we shouldn't make ice on Shabbos. The only time you should make ice on Shabbos, if you really need it, if there's a great tzarech, the Rama writes, then you're allowed to. So if it's a hot day and you're having guests over and you really need cold drinks, so then one would be able to make ice, or children want to make ice cold on Shabbos, so that's allowed for the children as well to play with it. But this is a very, very important machlokas about nolad between the Ashkenazim and the Svaradim. Now, one other example, are you not allowed to bring ice to to the table. A bucket of ice, it's going to melt. It's going to be nolad. There's no water below. Is that allowed? So some poskim say, yeah, of course it's allowed because it's dilo nichle. You don't want the ice to melt, actually. You'd rather the ice not melt. So since it's nolad and it's dilo nichle, it's not a problem. You'd rather not melt. My brother-in-law has a sefer on Shabbos where he says maybe the eitzah should be, maybe if you put some water at the bottom of the ice bucket, so when the ice melts, it's not nicker when it melts into the water that already exists. That would be a good way to avoid any shilas of nolad in the first place. Okay, now other questions of nolad that come up, I'll just be very quick here. There's an interesting discussion about SodaStream, about infusing the bubbles, the seltzer and water into seltzer, is that allowed? Is that considered molid? So this was a discussion way back when in the times of the Maharsham and the Chasam Sofer, I think, discussed this, and the Maharsham had different shuvahs going back and forth. In the end of the day, Shmir Shabbos and others think it's entirely permitted. The Shev Levi writes also it's permitted to do to create soda streams on Shabbos. That's not considered molid. You're not really adding anything new. You have to figure out what's molid, what's nolid. Using toothbrushes or using soap becomes an issue. If you look at Tosas here, before we begin the next parak, Tosas writes the last Tosas on the parak here, a person needs to be careful not to use snow or hail to wash his hands on Shabbos because you are turning into water. You're actively turning the solid into a water. So he says, why don't you be very, very careful not to use it? So this becomes a question of soap. Soap has a number of questions of memareach, memamachek, you're making things smooth, but you're also generating, you're turning into foam. So solid to foam, it would be a problem. But some say that the liquid soap should be fine. Where Moshe was even machmir on liquid soap, that he felt that liquid soap was a certain level of a solid, and when you rub it, it turns into a liquid, into a foam. He felt it was a problem, so he had suggested you should first pour water into the liquid soap to make it even more liquidy, and then you'll have to rub it, because that will be from a liquid to a liquid. Others felt Rav Moshe was a little more machmir, but they did say one should be choshish v'reshita, but if whatever circumstances are, one need not be concerned if they're not able to accomplish that, because pashup pshat is a liquid soap already is in the state of a liquid. But this, of course, is a very important question of what's considered a molid. Whipped cream. Whipped cream goes from a liquid to a foam. Is that considered enough of a change? So these are shadows that are very, very important. Let's now move on to the very next parak. So the mission begins, the next parak begins, b'mehema yota u'b'meh eino yota. With what types of items can an animal go out, and which type of animals can an animal not go out? So what do you mean animal going out, carrying chotzah by an animal? So the Rashi explains here, l'fisha olam mitzuba al shvisas behemes behemta b'shamas. A person is required to ensure that his animals stay rested. U'midei d'minter b'hema habi tachshit. And then anything that is there to protect, to be shomer, to keep the animal in check, is considered tachshir, is considered a decoration. V'orcha, and it's the normal way, is derech. V'lohavi masa, that's not called carrying, that's considered the clothing. Like we walk out with clothing, that's like carrying. So to anything that's there to be shomer the animal, it's called its clothing. U'mida delomintere, that which is not there to protect the animal, is havi masa, that's considered carrying, that would be a violation. So what's a violation of the behemas chaveiro? So behemas adam's behemto. So Tosas writes here, behema yota the adam muzal shvisas behemto. The chesiv l'man yenuach. The l'man yenuach. It says in the pasuk you have to make sure that you rest and l'man yenuach shorcha v'chamorcha v'yinivash ben amascha v'hager, that you're shor and you're chamor and all the other animals have to rest. There's a mitzvah asay to make sure that they rest. Umiu says Tosas lav delosa se melacha atavemtecha leka. There's no lav here though, even though the pasuk does say lav by behema as well. That's only when an animal is, when you're using an animal to do some type of work for you. We'll get to that later on in the end of the Masechta, Daf Kuf and Gimel. But this is only a violation of an aseh. There's a Rashi of Avodah Zarah that says, no, Shvisas behemto, your animal resting is also a violation of Los Asa Malacha. So there's machlokas between Tosos and Rashi of Avodah Zarah, whether this question of an animal carrying is an aseh or Los Asa. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that whether or not women are chayv in this Malacha, if a woman owns her own animal, is she subject to make sure there's no Shvisas behemto? So according to Rashi, where there's a lav, women are chayv in all lavim. But according to Tosos, that's only an aseh. So since it's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, that's a time bound, it only applies on Shabbos, that women would seemingly be potter. And the Rebbe Eger had this discussion, but now one of the shadows he had, Rebbe Eger said, but wait a second, are women chayv in kiddush? Yeah, they're chayv in kiddush. Ah, it's an aseh, it's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. So the Gemara said, it's kol sheyeshma b'shmir, yeshma b'shir. It's shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. They both said, Hashem said both shamar v'zachar together. Shamar is a los ases, Zachar is the ases, and they go hand in hand. The kol sheyesh mishmira, women are chayiv in the shmir and the los ases, mameila chayiv in the zechira is the ases as well, which is kiddush the Gemara says. So the question is the assay of Shtrisa's Behemto implied there as well, or was Zohar only implying that the Chayv in Kiddush, but not Shtrisa's Behemto? So that's a discussion, a very interesting discussion amongst the Poskim. Now, let's go by it now. The Gemara now continues, the Mishnah continues and says that we're going to get a little bit technical now, different animals and different pieces of things they would wear to protect them. So the Mishnah says again, Bameh, Behemah, Yotza, Bameh, Eina, Yotza. What do they go out with? What they can they not go out with? Yotza, Gama, Ba'afsar, camel could go out with some type of a halter, some type of a thing that goes around its neck to keep it straight, to keep it in check. Benaka, Bechatam, Anaka, some type of camel that's or an Arabian camel of some sort. Bechatam could go out. The Chatam, the Gemara is going to explain. Veluv Dukim, some other type of animal could go be Prumbia. Again, Gemara will explain some of these items. Hopefully, we'll understand a little bit more in the Gemara. Vesus Besher, a horse could go out with a collar. Vechol Bale Asher, any other animal that has collars around it. Yotzin Besher could go out with its collar. Venimshachin Besher, and can be pulled by its collar. This is just one of the sources that you can have animals and pets on Shabbos, and you can even take them out to go for a walk. But we mentioned in the past other issues of muksa and gozes as well, one has to be careful of. And in Mazin Alein, you could also sprinkle mepara on these collars even while they're on the animals. Well, Gemara will discuss some of this. Betovim bimkomam, you could also put them in the mikvah while they're still in the place of the animal's neck. And we'll discuss this not today, but in a later daf. So the Gemara now says, "My naka bechatam." What does it mean? A naka, this type of Arabian camel, the chatam. So Amar Rabba Barbar Chana naksa chivarte bizmama de parzle. It's a white female camel with a nose ring. That's a nose ring made of iron. That's what's going on. That is part of the protection and can go out with that nose ring because it helps you pull the camel. V'luv dekim beprumbia. What's that? Amar Rav Huna chamara luva. Bipagi de Parzla, it's a donkey that came from a place called Luv with an iron bit on its, I guess where it's on its nose or its face, I don't know exactly where you keep this, but that's allowed as well because it protects it, it keeps it in check, it's a shomer. The Levi, Shadar Zuze le Bechazar le Mizben le Chamar le Buva. One time Levi had sent money to the city of Bechoza to buy a Chamar Luva. He wanted to buy one of these Luvian donkeys. So what happened was, when they sent the money, Tari Shadri Leish Sari, they had wrapped the money back of Levi's money he sent to them. They put some sari, some barley in it. The man went to tell him, the Nigre de Chamer Sari, that the donkey grows stronger with barley. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi, Tari Shadri Leish Sari, they put some barley in the money and sent it back to Levi. Tari Ma'osav Vishalchalo Sorim Mitzara, Ma'osav, they put again money and barley together. Vlorati Liknos Lachamer, Mipneshu Rachok, they didn't want to have him sell him the donkey because it was so far, Mibavo. Like half a year to get there. Kedamer b'hagozel, 6 months to get there. V'yisiu eitza liknos chamer. They gave an eitza, buy a chamer bimkomo, buy a donkey from where you live. V'yachilenu sorim, feed it barley, tamid often. V'nimsa chamer tova mishubach. It's going to make your animal stronger and greater, and that's the eitza. It's not worth sending a donkey a 6 month travel to get here. So then the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Mashmuel, machlifen lifnei Rebbe shazo bezu mahu. They had switched around the order, wanted to ask Rebbe what the opposite be, meaning what? He wanted to know, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Machalifin Shelasam Naka, that Shelasam Naka ba'afsar v'gamo b'chatam ma'o masahu v'asar. Let's see, one of the Mishnah said, an afsar on a gamo. But let's see if put an afsar on a naka. And let's see if put a chatam on a gamo. You switch around the which types of collars or rings are being used, which different animals, is that going to be allowed as well? Or that's considered a masah because it's not the appropriate type of shmir for the appropriate type of particular type of animal. So the Gemara then says that he answered back, Naka ba'afsar lo tibaylach, a naka, this type of halter on the Arabian donkey, is not a question. Came into Lomintarbe, it's not going to hold back the Arabian animal, the camel so strong, it won't be sufficient. Masahu, that's a masah, it's worth it. It's putting like a little thread around an animal, it won't help you, that's a masah. That's a carrying something. When the question was raised, but a camel with a chatam, now a camel doesn't need it. The chatam is extra security. You don't need such a strong chain. But what if you did that? Would that be allowed? So do we say kaven the sagi liba afsar? Since it's sufficient, how do you use an afsar? Masahu, and you're using a more advanced type that's considered extra. Odoma nitirusa yiserasa lo amina masahu, an extra security is not considered a masa. You just want more security. You want a stronger way to keep your animal tame. So maybe it should be allowed. So Amar Lefana Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Kach Amar Abba. My father would say, Rabbi Yosi would say that Arba Behemos Yotis BaAfsar. The four animals that could be using an Afsar to go out on Shabbos: Hasus, Vapered, Vagamal, Vachamor. The horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey. Lemute Mai. What is coming to exclude? Which is the animal that can't be? Lav Lemute Gamal Vachatam. That a camel cannot use a chatam. That's what's telling us. So we cannot use the camel. Lo Lemute Naka BaAfsar. It's telling us that only these four animals can use an afsar, but a naka doesn't use an afsar, because since an afsar isn't sufficient protection on the naka, it would be considered a masar. But in terms of a donkey using a more advanced, a greater security, that would be permitted according to this brisa. So then the Gemara says, "B'masnisa tana luvdikim v'gamal yotzin ba'afsar." These animals could go out with an afsar. So ketanai, it's really machlokis tanaim. Ein chay yotze besugar, a wild animal cannot go out with a rope, because it's not going to keep him. Chanani omer yotze besugar v'chol davar mishamer. He can go out with a rope as long as anything else that can keep him, protect him, that would be allowed. So v'mayaskin, what's the case here? Ilayim b'chay gadol. If you're talking about a huge wild animal, a bear, a lion, a tiger with a little rope, misagar le'sugar, will a little rope around his neck really help you? He's going to take you flying with you. That's not sufficient. V'la b'chay katana. We must be talking about a smaller animal, a small type of cat maybe. So milo sagi le'besugar, is a rope not sufficient? Of course it's sufficient. Elalav chatul ikum. Now we're talking about a cat. So a cat's in the middle. So before the chay katana was talking about, they suggest maybe a weasel, something really, really small. A cat's somewhere in the middle. So Tanakama Sabar came in the sagi le'bemisna ba'alma. Since a cat, you could use a very regular cord that's allowed, and you're using a rope which is stronger. Masahu, that's called the masui. That's called an extra weight. V'chanani Sabar called nitiru. So you say rasalam rina masahu. No. Cats are very soft. You don't need really much for a cat. So really, a little thread would be sufficient to keep a cat near you. But you want to do something more advanced, so you use a rope. So according to the Tanakhama, a rope is extra. That's unnecessary, and therefore it's a masur. But Hanani says, no, the greater shmir, the better. So kol netiruso yisirasa lo aminan masur. We don't call it a masur. So Amar Huna Barchia Amar Shmuel Halacha Chananya Mipasa Chananya, that you can use more advanced, high level shmirs. That's permitted, and that's not called a masur. And Levi Braid Rav Huna Barchi, a little story here. Once Rabbi Rav Huna Havikazi Baruch, they once traveled. And Kadmei Chamer de Levi Lechamer de Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Now Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was a greater Rav than Levi. And the donkey of Levi had went ahead of the donkey of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Chalash Jaita de Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. He was upset about this. He was a little bit disturbed, lacking proper respect for the Talmud Chacham. So Rashi says, last line of Rashi, Shea Gadol v'kasavar sh'asa midas, that he was greater, and he thought he Levi willingly sent his donkey in front of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, even though Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was greater than him. So Tosus writes here, before he finished this piece here, Tosus writes, Kedma kadma chamer de Levi. Now Levi's donkey went first. Mashma shemechabrim midirachim. We see from here that even when people are walking, you should show kavod on the path, let someone who's greater than you go in front of you. Uperk Amar Lempa Mamuna Gemara Newman Daf Yom Zayin Nami Amrinan. We see Shlosha Shayu Malchum Aderech. Three people are walking. Harab Em, so the Rav should be in the center. Gadla Mino, the greater next one in line should be in the right side of the Rav. Vekatan Mismil, the smaller, the younger, the lesser one, should the least should be in the left side. Vechem Atzina B'Malach and Shari Shabo Itzal Avram. We find this in many instances. Even when a person's traveling, there should be the proper respect for who should go first, and next, and then beyond that. Vehikshir Beinu Tam. The Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Zayin Masik. We conclude there. Day Mechavdenis Pesach Haroy LeMezuzah. We only show kavod to a person when it's a Pesach. There's a mezuzah. If people are going to the bathroom, we don't show honor to go to the bathroom. There's no mezuzah on the derech. There's no mezuzahs out there, so there's no inin of showing kavod when there's no mezuzah. So what's the inin of? There's no concept of Mechavdenis B'Dirachim. So Tiritz Rebbeinu Tam answers. The halsim there is Kishein Holchem B'Chabur Achas. That's when you're not going in one chabura. El Kol Echad Holich L'Tzarech Atzma. Each person is going their own way, and they happen to meet at a crossing. So they don't end up being mechabed each other. Aval Kishein Holchem B'Chabur Achas. When you're traveling together as a group, then mechabed Mechol Malkum. Then you would show covered who goes first. And since in this instance here of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Levi were walking together at a chabura, and then Levi went in front of him, there was Chalishas Adas that Rabbi Rav Huna was feeling. So Amar, so they said, someone said to Emle Milsa, you should, they said to Levi, say something to Rabbi Rav Huna, Kiechei de'ososev daite. So Rashi says, Lo'dio shalom niskavanti. Just ask him a question, show him that you're machnir yourself, you're asking a shayla to him, and you weren't doing this intentionally, you weren't paying attention. So ask him a shayla, show him that you're still his Talmud. So Amar Lai, so he asked the question, that the Chamor she'asaka v'ra'am kigonzeh, ma'alates b'prumia b'shabbos. This donkey, which apparently has bad behavior because it walked in front of your animal, I'm so sorry about that. Please apologize. What's the thing? Can this animal go out with a prumi on Shabbos? Is that allowed? So Amar Lehi says, Hachi Amar Avuch Shemeshmer the Shmuel, your father in the name of Shmuel said, Halacha Kechananya, and even though the Prumia might be a more advanced, a more sophisticated, a stronger type of Shmira, and not necessary for the Chamor, if one wants to use a Netirusa Yisiras, a greater type of Shmira, it would be allowed in accordance with Chananya. We will stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow at 7 a.m.